Hello, everyone. Good to see you. Kind of. It's a great day. This is actually, Linda and I are pastoring in St. George right now, as well as giving oversight to Quebec and Atlantic Canada regions within ACOP. And in St. George, we've been still doing drive-in church. And it's worked well for us, as well as can work in this kind of environment. And we're grateful for it. We'll have to figure out something for the fall. But this is the first time that I have actually, other than with the Family Worship Center in St. George, been involved in a public meeting since March. And for this guy who's traveled all over, my wife and I are getting reacquainted. The reason why we've made it to 44 years is because lots of years I was on the road 200 nights a year. So no, I'm just kidding. We only had half as much time to fight as you guys did, just saying. No, it's been a wonderful run. It's been really good and very grateful for it. So how are you guys all doing? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. So when I put fantastic, I got one doing fantastic. That's really good. But that's the guy whose shirts are too small and he just came back from vacation. His daughter's married. Should I go on record for our news? Can do that? I always try to get permission now because I'm the guy who's way outspoken and getting myself in trouble, so I look at my wife and go, may I do that? First of all, when I put these glasses on, I just want you all to know I can't see you now, just saying, but I can see my notes. So our news is our granddaughter is in her second trimester, so we are going to be great grandparents. So, and I'm not hardly any older than you are. I'm just saying, you say you're not old enough to be great grandparents. Yeah. Your grandbaby's not old enough. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. What's really cute with Alyssa is she sends me all these little notes. Alyssa is the one, those of you that have followed our story, lost her father a few years ago. He was pastoring in Alberta and he passed away. He had a massive heart attack. And Alyssa has kind of turned to me. I'll never take his place, but I'm kind of filling his shoes for some of the things that he would have provided. So she's always in touch with me. She does the same with Linda, but we got something cool going on. Doesn't every grandfather feel that he's got that with his granddaughter? I got the cool thing going on. But anyway, so she sends me these messages right out of the gate because she's a nurse, right? So she's, I don't know where she got these graphics, but she sends me this text. Yeah, the baby's the size of an apple seed. Then it was the size of an orange seed. Then it was the size of a pea. Now it was the size of a raspberry. I said, my grandbaby, a raspberry, we're calling him Nugget right now. And that raspberry, and then what was the last? I forget, it was an orange or something. But anyway, she's continually keeping me up on it. So I'm really delighted to be here. I have a message on my heart that I want to share with you. And if you would, turn with me in your Bible. Sorry to the media people. These guys are like getting a hold of me, like, do you have any special notes? Do you have anything? No, it's all good. See, what happens with me, if I use PowerPoint, then I get locked into the PowerPoint. And often when I'm talking, I end up on some sort of tangent and everybody's looking at the PowerPoint and trying to figure out where he was going. And I'm just better off not. So if you get these scriptures up, I'm going to be so impressed. And if they don't, you all know it's because I didn't give them any. Just saying. So Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 to 38, I want to read in the New Living Translation. Actually, I'm going to cover four scriptures starting in Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. And I'm going to be reading them all from the New Living Translation. So here we go. Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Isn't that fascinating? I find statements like that fascinating. Some people, when they read that, he healed every kind of disease and illness, and they make a theology around, you know, well, he healed every kind of disease and illness, so we every time we're praying for the sick, everybody should get healed. Listen, I firmly believe in healing. Having said that, how about the person who was left at the temple that was lame? Jesus would have walked by that dude many times, I'm thinking, going into the temple, but he saved that guy for Peter and John. Peter and John were the ones that... So there's a thing about timing. So anyway, so when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Guys, if ever we lived in a day where people are confused and helpless and like sheep without a shepherd, this is the day. Do you know what? As I consider that, in the midst of COVID, and we look at what's going on at COVID, I just got a message. I had two messages. I just got to tell you, they involve Zach Padgett, so he's supposed to be preaching for me this morning. So I was just distracted for just a second. They're going to have to sort it out because I'm preaching. I hate that. Messages come up while you're talking. I go, get out of here. No, Zach, where are you? No. Got one from Zach. You got any contact people? Yeah. And then I get another one. Speaker's not here yet. Just saying. We just got that out for Zach for everywhere, right? So anyway, So in the midst of this COVID, guys, listen, this expression isn't original to me. I have a friend that uses it, though. In the midst of COVID, we are dealing with spiritually disoriented God seekers. You guys did a series on the nuns and duns. And we got spiritually disoriented God seekers every which way we look. The world's been turned upside down. We got civic unrest in places we never thought we'd have civic unrest. We got turmoil going on everywhere. Our faith, my faith has never been more established, but the way we do faith has never been more shaken. Hello? Is that true for all of you or just me? I'm going through that. I'm supposed to be leading you guys. Holy smoke, little fat guy stumbling away around in the kingdom of God the same as the rest of you. It's like, here we are. Like, here's our world. Here's our reality. But the reality is, people are like sheep without a shepherd, you guys. If I could have you pick up some sort of burden, if I could pick up some sort of burden of the Holy Spirit, this is a generation when it's never been more closer to God and probably never been any further away from God. This is a generation that I refuse to call sinners and pagans and by their affiliations. Yesterday, I had a beautiful opportunity of sitting with a Muslim guy right here in your city, and he's looking to try to, you know, get a mosque for all of the Syrian refugees. I gave him your contact info, Werner, just saying. So, because I thought that's a really cool connection. But you know what? Spiritually disoriented God seekers. And quite frankly, all of us can get thrown into the same pot other than the fact that hopefully we've got our faith established that it's in Jesus, which is where I'm going with this. So he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And you guys were in that day. I'm in that day in St. George. We're in that day. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So he said, so pray that the Lord who is in charge of, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Another translation, pray to the owner of the harvest. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. And I'm going to come back to that verse in a minute. But another passage that I want us to read is in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. If you don't get to these, that's fine. Just let me read through them. Mark 1 and 15 in the New Living Translation, it says, "The time promised by God has come at last. He announced, 'The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news.'" So we saw the good news in the first passage I read. We're looking at the good news here in Mark. It says, this is what Jesus says, "Repent of your sins and believe the good news." Luke chapter 4 and verse 43 says, "But Jesus replied, 'I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent.'" And then in Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, he says, "Until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the message of the prophets were your guides." Look at this. "But now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached and everyone is eager to get in." Everyone is, another version translation says, "And people are pressing in." People are pressing in to get in. Into where? The kingdom of God. They're pressing to get into the kingdom of God because the good news is being preached. And as the good news is being preached, the spiritually disoriented God seekers are finding some sort of comfort and truth in the good news of the kingdom of God. And they're pressing to get in. But we don't have enough laborers. We got people pressing in. So, you know, I see this good news throughout all these verses, and we try to consider it. I've often asked people, what is the good news? If we're supposed to be preaching the good news, what is it? And I want to tell you some of the things that I know about the good news, and we'll get to what it is not in just a minute. But here's what the good news is. The good news is the kingdom of God has come. Hello? Somebody say amen. The kingdom of God has come. There are those, there was a teaching that was really strong throughout the 70s, 80s, and 90s that referred to, you know, the coming kingdom and all the emphasis on the millennium and when the millennium would happen and what happened before the millennium. And, you know, I think in the process we missed the point, because I believe there is a future kingdom. Without a doubt, there's going to be a future kingdom. And Jesus is going to come and he's going to rule and reign on his earth. How all that takes place, I'm not sure of, but there will be a future kingdom. But let me tell you this, there is a present kingdom. There is the reality of the kingdom of God today. There is the reality that Jesus rules and reigns today. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. This is the good news. The kingdom of God has come. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. Therefore, this is a good kingdom. And with the well-being of its citizens in mind, it is a kingdom of righteousness. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of joy. Don't say here, there is a kingdom, because the kingdom of God is in you. And according to Paul, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God has come upon us. This should not be something boring to us. This should be something that captivates our very lives, because this is our message. And if we're not passionate and excited about our message, we don't have a message. Because the good news is the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is available. Life is available. Freedom from the bondage and results of sin is available. Where humans can be free from addictions and lust and anger and bitterness and pride, and where the God of this age no longer has control over you, and the King of the kingdom rules and reigns. This is really good news. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, he said, "For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death." The law of sin and death no longer has any control over me, because I'm in the kingdom. Somebody get blessed, please. Serious. It's holy. Deliverance and healing for the whole man are in the kingdom. Do you notice I haven't said Jesus saves yet? We're talking about the kingdom. See, a lot of people think the good news is Jesus saves, but if I start out with Jesus saves, I might have lost him before I got started. Saves from what? But the kingdom of God addresses every human condition, every human heart, every attitude, every whatever, and brings a peace to that if the recipient will respond to it. There is deliverance and healing for the whole man, and where your past can no longer hold you and your present is fulfilling and your future is bright, that's the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom with a different governmental order, with different governmental structure, different laws, different promises, and different privileges. Listen, the kingdom of God has a constitution, and it's called the Bible. That's the constitution. So we can argue social issues all we want, but what does the Bible say? And I don't mean grabbing verses out of context. I mean having really thought out, you know, intellectual responses to the social issues of our day based on the Word of God. Where are the Daniels? Where are those who rise up and say, but this is what the Word of God says, and it's said with grace. But guys, the church ran too long and too far away from the principles of the kingdom of God, trying to fit into a society. But boys, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you've noticed, but it didn't work. And this is the day to rewrite and rethink what it might look like. So this kingdom is ruled by the King of the Kingdom with his values, his interests, his purposes and vision and structure for the kingdom. This is a kingdom where there's instruction and help to be godly parents and spouses and citizens, where there is instruction on financial prosperity, on healthy living, on overcoming fears, on walking in faith. Listen, we live in the kingdom, guys. We don't live in COVID, and we don't live with the stuff that's going on and all the civil unrest south of our borders. Listen, we live in the kingdom of God, and as all hell breaks loose on this earth, I'm convinced I'm in the kingdom. I'm absolutely convinced of it. It's going to take a people who have a belief in the kingdom of God, or you'll get rattled every which way you turn around. Do I have anxieties? Do I have fears? Do I have, you know, concerns? Yes, I have all the above. I'm a human being. But at the foundation of it all is this trust that Jesus, you are in control. And even if you kill me, Lord, I'll still trust you. I'll still trust you. Because I'm in the kingdom. This is not a little fairyland kingdom. This is not a Frozen thing, you know, thaw out everybody. This is not a Disneyland, a Disney movie kingdom. This is not Aslan. I love all those movies. This is not Lord of the Rings, you guys. This is Jesus, the King of his kingdom. Present day, right now. There's kingdom in this. Or the reality of the kingdom is it helps me overcome fears and walk in faith and living victoriously and overcoming trials and finding your destiny and fulfilling it. And this is a kingdom of light and not darkness, because Jesus is the King. And he is light. This is the kingdom of the present King, not just the coming King. Did you hear me? George Eldon Ladd, and if you read much of him, you'll get a half an idea of where my eschatology goes. Eschatology, the study of future events. But George Eldon Ladd had a statement that many of us that have followed him quote, and he said, "The kingdom of God is both a present reality and a future event." Jesus is going to be the coming king, but he is the present king. I'm not spending all my time praying for Jesus to come and rescue us, because this is our time to rescue the people who are like sheep without a shepherd, that are confused, that are spiritually disoriented God seekers. I don't want to go home now. I want to be light in darkness. I want to have an impact on the world around me, and the darker it gets, the brighter our light shines. People, you can talk about what all the things we've lost, and no prayer in the schools, and no this and no that, and you can lament over it, or we can look and go, this is the church's finest hour, my goodness. Cultural Christianity, if you haven't noticed, especially even in COVID, cultural Christianity is taking a beating. And you know what? Some of us are lamenting the beating that cultural Christianity is taking. I am grateful for it. Because cultural Christianity has put us in the pews, but not engaged. Cultural Christianity has had us walk along almost automaton with platitudes and cliches and Christian phrases and Christian this and Christian that, and almost what I call the Christian ghetto, with all of our trinkets and all of our stuff. That stuff, guys, is being eroded. And we're coming down to a place where young couples and young men and young women are having to make decisions. They're not going to come back to the church, but they may listen to Jesus. And if they're listening to Jesus, they're going to reconnect. Hello? And the ones who are not reconnecting, that's the prerogative, that's back to the spiritually disoriented God seekers. I'm telling you, there's a present king, not just a coming king. I have proven the reality of the kingdom. My life has changed. My way is clear. My future is set. I know my destiny. And I'm confident about why I'm here. Can you say the same? Can you put your name in any of this? Those of you that are watching this online, listen, your way is clear. If you know Jesus, your way, even though I'm stumbling around, my way is clear. I know I'm in the kingdom, and I'll live life according to the kingdom. My future is set. I know my destiny. I'm confident about why I'm here. I was fatherless, but Jesus became my father. I was without direction, but Jesus showed me the way to go. I was addicted to drugs and sex and alcohol and the need for attention and the need for approval. And Jesus delivered me from all of them and gave me much better things to control my life. Christ and his kingdom taught me how to be a good citizen, how to be a good husband and a father, how to live life to the fullest that I can. And the good news is he's still teaching me. Listen, is that not good news, guys? I know my gifts, I know my way, I know who I am, I know where I'm going, I'm not lost, I'm found, I'm not confused or wandering, my way is set, my path is clear, I'm an overcomer, I can endure trials and hardships, I am prosperous and secure, though I am sick, I am healed, though I am human, I touch divinity. Man, that took a lot for me to get that all out in one breath. I thought you could respond with an amen with one breath. You don't need near as much for that, but it's... I put a lot of work into that. I thought that was near, you know, like oratory excellence there for a second. You know, if it wasn't for time, I'd make you listen to it again. You guys are awesome. The good news of the kingdom is that I am no longer judged. By the way, let me say this again, because it affects how I work in the harvest. Do you know the whole world is forgiven? Do you know Jesus came and died for the sins of the world? Hello, did he? Is that true? Do you know he died for the sins of the world, and he forgave by his sacrifice, the world's sins are forgiven. There's nobody on this planet that's not forgiven. The worst offender is forgiven already. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to judge the world, but that the world through me might be saved. The world is forgiven. You, some of you are looking confused. I'm glad you waited for me to finish the statement. Because here's the thought. Here's the rest of the thought. The only way people can enjoy the inheritance of forgiveness is to receive it. So there's the peace on people. Yes, they have to ask. They have to receive the forgiveness. If they don't receive the sacrifice, if they don't receive the forgiveness, then there is consequences of that lack of unforgiveness. But I'm telling you, in this day we live in, there's nobody you talk to that hasn't already been forgiven. That changes how I try to talk to somebody. They're forgiven already. I'm not looking at them like they're some kind of, you know, like me. Praise God. That's the good news of the kingdom. I'm no longer judged. My pardon has been granted. I don't fear future judgment because I am now considered righteous. Wow. I don't fear it. I'm not afraid of death, guys. Death has no hold on me. I'm not afraid. When I see Jesus face to face, the Bible says my works are going to be judged. But I'll tell you what I'm not going to be judged for. I will not be judged for guilty or not guilty, because that judgment's already passed, and I'm not guilty because of Jesus. That's the good news of the kingdom. That's the beauty of the good news of the kingdom. So, some think that the good news of the kingdom is Jesus saves. I want to tell you that's true. It is very true. But it's not all the good news of the kingdom. Jesus saves is only one part of the good news. Many think that the message Jesus saves is the starting point, that it must be told first and then everything else will follow. But I'm not sure that's correct. It seems to me as I read through the scriptures that many times Jesus healed the sick and cast out demons and did other miracles before he even talked about the kingdom. And when he does talk about the kingdom, including the famous Sermon on the Mount, we see him talking about the benefits of the kingdom, life in the kingdom, the ways of the kingdom, attitudes of the kingdom, basic life principles of the kingdom that is not of this world. You don't often hear Jesus talking about how to get into the kingdom first. He usually waits until people are convinced there's a kingdom, and then he says things like, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. And says things like, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he states it, but what he does is it seems to me that he presents to them the kingdom of God and all the benefits of the kingdom, and then they're pressing to get in. They're going, how do I get in? Jesus, he's the only way. Jesus saves. Now that's good news. But we get to present the kingdom of God to people who are spiritually disoriented God seekers. We get to present the peace and the joy and the life. Don't be trying to figure out, how do I shoehorn the gospel in here? How do I wedge in talking to them they need Jesus? Listen, what you do is you live your life and you talk to them about how come you're going through this without a lot of fear? Because I'm living the kingdom of God. One of the benefits of the kingdom is peace. Oh, really? How do you get in there? I could use a little of that. Well, I got even better news for you. The door's wide open. So I believe God has chosen to reveal himself to mankind on two levels. Here's the first one. One is general revelation. Everyone has some sort of knowledge of God. There is a God. There's a creator, a divine being, you know, higher power or whatever that would be. They believe in something. Most in this category would accept that Jesus was a man of God, a great teacher, a prophet, one of God's messengers. Most would agree to that. And they would not see him as the Son of God or as the only way of salvation. But then there's what I call a specific or special revelation, and this usually happens in this form. Usually, after walking with a Christ follower. That's how I got saved. Friend, we were on the street together, and a buddy of mine that was far from God, and I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about God. And while we were on the street together, him and me lived on the street for a couple of years together, and then he got right with God. And now he's walking beside me. But he's talking to me about, he didn't say it like that, but he's talking to me about the kingdom of God. And Ken, you can find deliverance from our addiction, man. You can walk out of this like, Ken, there's a better life for you. Ken, there's so much more. Ken, you have no purpose. You have no dream. You have no direction. But you have a lot of talent. Ken, you need to come to Jesus. He's got a plan for you. And eventually I responded because it was like, well, there's just too much going on here. But this special revelation is usually after walking with a Christ follower that's already in the kingdom and seeing the value and the benefits of the kingdom, decides they want to be part of it, and now they're open to the message of the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. Wow. Wow. And that's what we need to pray for. You see, guys, I want to come back to this. Just for a second, and I'm going to draw to a close within the next 40 minutes. Matthew 9, we read it, 35 to 38. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Man, oh man, oh man. People wander around today. There's so much. You know, people are so unsure of what they're doing, they're protesting wearing a mask. Just saying. I could have hit a whole bunch of people and made them mad now. But seriously, we are so disoriented and so troubled. Stuff is in such a swirl, we don't even know what to fight for. It's like, and Jesus, when he looked at the society and he saw the people, he was so moved. He was moved with compassion. You know, I just briefly looked at Stats Canada for this area. You know, multiracial, multi-ethnic groups, multi-language, multilingual, loads of young couples, young families. In the capital region here. I don't want to start breaking out the stats, but Jesus had compassion on them. The guy I was talking to last night, the reason why I was interested in the conversation was because the gentleman's working with Syrian refugees. Can you imagine? I don't have time to unpack some of what the Syrians are going through, but most of you know it. And you just look at it, it's just like sheep without a shepherd. It's just like, and be moved with compassion. Lord, what is the compassion that the Lord has? And whatever it is, it's the driving force that caused him to sacrifice his life in order to be the shepherd. He sacrificed his life. This compassion moved him to action. It moved him to sacrifice. It moved him to obedience. It moved him to pay the price. Listen, I'm talking to all of you, especially online right now, young couples, young adults. Listen, I'll tell you, today is not the day to go, well, you know what, we're just doing beaches and we're just going to kind of check out, because today is the day that the Lord will call us to action and obedience and be willing to pay the price. It's going to be a high price. That doesn't bother me because I think the bar is being raised, guys. The bar is being raised. But I call to the young men and young women, man, if this is a day to advance the kingdom of God, listen, you know, if you had any question about it, I'm in the sunset. And we won't go any further than that, you know, of my involvement and my engagement. But I'll tell you this, if I could be a 20-something now, I mean, let's go grab the world by the tail here, guys. This is a wide open opportunity. We're in the wild, wild west of spiritual recovery. Wow. And I'm saying, man, you gotta engage, you gotta get in there. This is not the day to be trying to decide whether you can do church in Tim Hortons or not. That is irrelevant questioning at this stage of the game. Get in the game. So this compassion caused Jesus to see humanity as sheep without a shepherd. something mystical about the level of compassion that compelled Jesus to action. There's something of it that smells of God, that it's not concocted by man's will or commitment. This compassion is the old-fashioned burden, passion or burden for lost souls. This is something that moved on me. I remember when we moved to Thunder Bay and I said, God, you got to give me a burden for this region. You got to captivate my heart, Lord. And I remember there was three things that I did. The first, and none of them was necessarily, they were all planned individually. I can't say it was my strategy to do all three, but it ended up doing this and it was out of my desperation. First thing, shortly after we moved there, I took a cabin out by a lake and for 4 days of fasting and prayer by myself. And when I do that, I don't take a watch. I don't take any reading material other than my Bible. I take a notepad. Well, now I'd have my iPad or whatever, but not, and water and toiletries. No eating, no, just water, whatever. So anyway, I was into this. About the third day in, now I'm getting into the rhythms of me and Jesus, not time bound. So I was up in the middle of the night. And I went for a walk in the middle of the night. I walked up onto this high hill. It was perfect, clear night. See the stars. Everything was shining. And I remember, I'm sitting out there and I'm agonizing. Oh, God, you got to give me a strategy. Lord, you got to give me a burden for the people. Lord, I can't do this myself. And I remember so intent that I started pulling the grass out. And I understand now what a little bit about what the Old Testament said, and I got to give you this because you guys all think I'm nuts. I start putting it on my head in the dust and the dirt, and I felt so little, and I felt so inadequate. And I'm going, oh, God, look at me. Like, and the tears are streaming down my face, and they're dirt soaked, and because I'm wiping the mud on the dirt on my face, and I'm covered in dirt. And I'm like, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I can't do this. And something happened to me in that prayer retreat. Jesus began to speak to me about Thunder Bay. Then the next thing that happened is I went up on a mountain that overlooks the whole city. And I was up there by myself late one night. And I started praying for the city with the city lights. You can see the whole city from up there. I'm looking at the city lights. And all of a sudden, every light starts to represent somebody who doesn't know Jesus, a spiritually disoriented God seeker. And once again, I ended up on the ground and I'm rolling around on the ground and I'm agonized. And I'm going, oh God, if I'm not the guy, send somebody else. Jesus, you got to save the city. Lord, that was to send forth laborers into the harvest. And now it's starting to come on me and I'm starting to feel the burden of that. And I'm looking out over the city and I'm agonizing for the city of Thunder Bay. You need to know I still carry a burden from those days. Something happened because I got a hold of the Spirit of Jesus and something happened. And there's a reason why I'm telling you this story, guys. So the third thing that happened was we decided in the first few months, I felt like the Lord said to us, don't start the church when we moved there. We didn't know anybody, didn't have contacts. We were there with one other couple. And I said, well, I don't want to start church for the first 6 months. God wants us to pray for the first 6 months. We just need to develop the strategy and you know, kind of get things set. Because we were going to start in our living room. Boy, if we never needed God, we really needed him there. And I remember, so what we did was we started doing prayer walks around the city and driving tours around, prayer tours around the city, and we walked the city streets. I'd walk the city streets day and night. Somebody would have thought I was some old homeless, or young again then, I guess, but young homeless dude, you know, because it looked like I was half deranged, and I walk in the middle of, walk in the 30 below weather, walk in the 30 above heat, and agonizing, oh God, please, Jesus. And when you prayer walk, you actually see the needs all around you. You see the fight that's happening. You see the people in poverty, or you see the police station, and you're praying for it. And you start to connect because you're actually, you know, engaging your prayer into what's going on in the cesspool of humanity around us. And I'm doing that, and the burden is coming on me heavy. So Jesus says to us, go, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Cleanse the lepers. Freely you have received, freely give. Did you get that? Freely you have received, freely give. And I want to say to you, I just spent time talking to you about the good news of the kingdom. It's not ours to keep. It's not just our security in COVID. It's just not my mental and emotional and spiritual comfort on my deathbed. This good news of the kingdom, guys, is to be given away. But it's got to come out of compassion. And could I suggest to you, as I conclude today, could I suggest to you that if we were to move into some sort of strategic plan to re-engage the mystical spirit of Christ, and I say that mystical on purpose in this context, that mystical spirit of Jesus, that he would put on us a compassion for Fredericton and for the capital region and for your friends and for your neighbors and your coworkers, and this has got to be something that's supernatural. That's why I use the word mystical. This is you. I can't conjure that up on you guys. I can't say, okay, everybody, now in the name of Jesus, just have this burden. It's got to come by the Spirit of Jesus at that level. We should still be working even if we don't have one. I have not had a burden like what I had in Thunder Bay because we moved around so much. I have not had that same. But listen, if it was centered and put in one spot where I start the what if those are ways that we say, Jesus, could you do this? Like, I want to be moved with an energy that is just so birthed of you and so born of you, because we live in a day when the spiritually disoriented God seekers need a clear message of the good news of the kingdom of God. Lord, give me a burden and a passion that lifts me up out of my timidity and lifts me up out of my fear and lifts me out of all my yeah buts. Give me the kind of thing. That's what happened to me when I'm sitting up on that hill, on that fasting and prayer retreat. What happened to me is I'm throwing dust and dirt on my head, and I'm lamenting. I'm going, God, the need is huge. It's overwhelming. I was overwhelmed, guys. I had just moved to a city, no job, no, three kids, and we just found a place to live like a few days before, and here we are in there, and I go, how are we going to do this? And yet the need is so great. I wasn't captivated by planting a church. I was captivated by the fact that there were people, spiritually disoriented God seekers, that were in need of him. And they're right here in your town. Cultural Christianity won't embrace what I'm saying. Those that want to be disciples, true Christ followers, those who say, I will pay the price, those who say, I'm not interested in just having a kind of, you know, just a little lifestyle faith here. I want to have a faith that's active and fulfilling what God wants me to fulfill for my life. I'm telling you. This is your day to, you can respond to this. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would grip the hearts of every one of us in the name of Jesus. May we have a burden that comes from you. Holy Spirit, come, I pray. Come on those that are listening online. Come on those, Lord Jesus, that are sitting in this room. Holy Spirit, come, I pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Some of you that are my followers that have joined this service, I'm so glad you did. I'm glad you chose to participate online. And I want to say to you now, as I conclude most every session that I do now, and I say it to you as a people as well, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Great grace on you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.